Hello, this is Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, July 9, 2026. The headline in the News Gazette, Carol Amon's indicted, Aaron charged as well. State representative allegedly misused campaign funds, then impeded investigations with her husband's help. A local state representative is facing federal charges accusing her of misusing campaign funds to benefit herself and her family, as well as using state grants to benefit her daughter and conspiring with her husband to impede the investigation of the alleged fraud. State Representative Carol Amon's, Democrat Urbana, has been indicted on 8 counts of wire fraud in the U.S. District Court for the Central District of Illinois, as well as 1 count of providing a false statement to the FBI agent. Amon's and her husband, Champaign County Clerk and Recorder Aaron Amon's, also have each been charged with 1 count of conspiracy to obstruct justice, and Aaron Amon's has been charged with 1 count of obstruction of justice. Initial hearings for both are set for July 16th. The News Gazette has reached out to both Amon's, but has yet to receive a response from them. According to the grand jury indictment filed Tuesday, from about 2017 to June 2025, Carol Amon's allegedly devised a scheme to defraud the state, taxpayers, and campaign donors, and to obtain money and property by means of materially false pretenses, promises, and representations, including by omissions and the concealment of material information. The state lawmaker is accused of paying herself and family members with campaign funds. They were not legitimate payments for services actually rendered to her political committee. The indictment also alleges that in order to avoid being discovered, Carol Amon's issued checks in excess of the amount for services actually rendered, then required the recipient to provide cash kickbacks for her, sometimes referred to as gifts. She is accused of paying her daughter, former Champaign County board member Titiana Amon's, about $600 per month from her campaign fund for a total of approximately $15,585, not in proportion with services actually rendered. Carol Amon's is also accused of filing materially false forms with the Illinois State Board of Elections, including omissions of certain payments and falsely listing others as mileage reimbursements. The indictment alleges that between January 2019 and November 2020, she failed to disclose over $25,000 in payments to individuals, a portion of which were paid back to Amon's in cash, and between March 2021 and August 2022, she falsely claimed that she paid more than $15,000 to a consulting firm when the amount was actually paid to an individual who paid a portion back to Amon's in cash. The indictment also accuses Carol Amon's of assisting local organizations with obtaining state grants that would benefit her and her daughter financially in violation of Illinois conflict of interest rules. It says that during the state's 2020 fiscal year, Carol Amon's caused a change in an appropriation for a state grant from the Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center, which served children from historically underserved neighborhoods to Hood Vote Neighborhood Transformation, Hood Vote, which was focused on reentry and corrections reform. The total state grant to the latter organization was a little more than $605,000. The indictment states that Titiana Amon's was involved with Hood Vote and eventually served as its program director, where in April 2021 she was paid approximately $3,326 in salary with money that came from the state grant. Thereafter, the state of Illinois informed Carol Amon's and Hood Vote that it was impermissible conflict of interest for Amon's daughter to be paid out of the state grant funds. The indictment states, consequently, Hood Vote discontinued paying Amon's salary a salary. The indictment alleges that after learning that Hood Vote could not pay her daughter using the grant funds, Carol Amon's did not help the organization renew its state grant. The indictment also alleges that in fiscal year 2021, Carol Amon's assisted Bethel AME Church Church's Bridgewater Sullivan Community Life Center in obtaining state grants worth about $612,000, then engaged in a scheme in which she required an individual to provide cash kickbacks, sometimes referred to as gifts, which were paid out of Bridgewater's state grant for services, including recommending individuals for employment, and assisted in drafting her daughter's employment contract. The indictment alleges that between August 2021 and May 2023, Tatiana Ammons was paid more than $60,000 from state grants as program director at Bridgewater. The indictment also accuses Carol Ammons of engineering a scheme that involves securing over $1 million in state grants in 2021 and 2022 for the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, where she had previously worked. The charges allege that from July to October 2022, while her daughter was already working full-time as the program director for Bridgewater and as a public service representative at an Illinois Secretary of State driver services facility, she was also paid about $9,990 to serve as digital marketing coordinator for IMC, a position which was funded by the state grants that Ammons facilitated. As a result of the scheme, Ammons and her daughter received financial benefits in excess of $100,000, the grand jury wrote. Additionally, Carol Ammons is charged with knowingly making a false statement to an FBI agent around May 2024 that she had no knowledge regarding a conflict of interest with Hood Vote Neighborhood Transformation, paying her daughter from a state grant. When Ammons knew full well that individuals from the state of Illinois and Hood Vote had previously discussed the conflict of interest with her. Carol and Aaron Ammons have also each been charged with conspiring with each other and others to engage in misleading conduct with intent to hinder and prevent the communication to a federal law enforcement officer or information related to the alleged wire fraud. Those charges allege that Aaron Ammons told a potential witness around February 2025 there was nothing illegal about friends giving friends money in regards to the alleged cash kickbacks paid to Carol Ammons from her political committee, then destroyed the paper note that she had used to communicate with the potential witness. The indictment also alleges that in April of that year, with his wife present, Aaron Ammons told a potential witness that they should communicate in code words about the ongoing federal investigation and that he would look into deposits his wife made around the dates that she received the illegal cash kickbacks. The indictments of the couple come about a month after their daughter was separately indicted for allegedly accepting unemployment benefits while still working and earning income. Chief Deputy Circuit Clerk Tatiana Ammons was charged with three counts of defrauding the U.S. Department of Labor and the Illinois Department of Employment Security from October 2020 to October 2021. She has pleaded not guilty. The indictment alleges that during the time Tatiana Ammons received unemployment benefits, she was employed in various capacities and received wages. For example, she received earnings performing work for the Friends of Carol Ammons for state representative. The grand jury wrote she received a stipend as a representative on the Champaign County Board. She received a paycheck as an executive assistant for Hood Vote Neighborhood Transformation. She received salary as a program director coordinator with Bridgewater. Carol and Aaron Ammons are both seeking re-election to their respective positions in the November midterms. Republican Alan Anderson has filed to run against Aaron Ammons for county clerk. And then a sidebar article, Representative Ammons removed from caucus committees as resignation calls begin. After news broke regarding the indictments of State Representative Carol Ammons, Democrat Urbana, and Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammons, some are calling for the two officials to step down. This includes House Minority Leader Tony McComb, Representative Republican Savannah, who said that public officials must be held to the highest ethical standards, and urged House Speaker Chris Welch, Democrat Hillside, to join in asking for Carol Ammons' resignation. Leadership means holding your own members accountable and waiting until political pressure becomes unavoidable, not waiting until political pressure becomes unavoidable, McComb said. Elected officials are entrusted with serving the public, not enriching themselves, and the seriousness of these allegations demands accountability. House Republicans have consistently pushed for stronger ethics laws and greater accountability, while the Democratic Party has repeatedly blocked or ignored meaningful ethics reform. Illinois deserves better. Welch, on the other hand, said that while the indictment's allegations are extremely serious and all individuals are entitled to the presumption of innocence and due process, the U.S. attorney will lay out evidence in court while Representative Ammons will have the chance to defend herself against the allegations, he said. However, he added that in the interest of upholding the integrity of the House and ensuring we can continue our important work without distraction, he is temporarily removing Carol Ammons from any and all House Democratic Caucus meetings, all House committees, and from accessing the Speaker's office, staff, and resources while the case is pending. Additionally, I directed my staff to review the budget to determine whether any funds need to be paused or reconsidered, Welch said. The news of today's federal indictments involving State Representative Carol Ammons and Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammons is concerning for many in our community, said Urbana Mayor and local Democrat Party Chairman Deshaun Williams. At this time, it is important that we respect the judicial process and allow the courts to determine the facts. Illinois GOP Chairman Bob Grogan called for the immediate resignations of both Carol and Aaron Ammons. Once again, Illinois Democrats are at the center of fraud, corruption, and robbing Illinois families blind, he wrote. The Ammons serially defrauded the state of Illinois taxpayers and their own donors to get rich. The Ammons simply can't be trusted. Aaron Ammons should not have a role in policing his own election or his wife's. It's clear that he should not be anywhere close to our election system. Illinois Attorney General candidate Bob Fioretti, also a Republican, likewise called for the Ammons' resignation. One would think the Champaign County Democratic Party would take action to restore confidence in their local elections, he said. Under normal circumstances, a local party would be highly embarrassed to be represented in high position by alleged fraudsters like the Ammons crime family. Instead, as with other Illinois Democratic Party entities, this scandal is met with a wink and a yawn. However, Republicans aren't the only ones using the incident to criticize the state's status quo. If lawmaker corruption over the past month hasn't convinced you our system is broken in Illinois, nothing will, said independent gubernatorial candidate Colin Corbett. He added that the state's lack of political balance means that there is no one to hold the supermajority party accountable. Corbett pointed to not just the indictments of Ammons and her husband, but also the recent resignation of former State Representative Harry Benton, Democrat Plainfield, amid sexual harassment allegations. The Ammons Family Corporation has been an open secret for years, yet it took the feds to finally do something about it, Corbett wrote. This is why we need independent leadership in Illinois. We will bring a much-needed check and balance to our government. There's a photo on the front page of the News Gazette with the headline, "It'll Pull a Crowd," and the caption, "Tom Jansen from Effingham unloads his 1929 Rumley Oil Pull Model X2540 tractor Wednesday afternoon at the I&I Antique Tractor and Gas Engine Club Showgrounds on Busey Street in Penfield in preparation for the annual Historic Farm Days event. It was just one of several vintage tractors he brought for the four-day festival. Gates officially open at 7 a.m. today, with the event occurring through Sunday. It was something special. A one-of-a-kind tractor will be on display today at Historic Farm Days in Penfield. Farm equipment enthusiast Sherry Schaefer considers herself the lucky new owner of a restored experimental 1957 Super 77 Oliver tractor. The guy bought it off Craigslist and played with it until he was done with it, she said. No one had literally any idea what this tractor was, but I had a clue it was something special. She said she felt the presence of her late father tapping her on the shoulder, telling her she needed to buy it. The prototype used a 271 General Motors engine, a piece never used in any other model. It was assembled in Charles City, Iowa, then transferred to GM before ending up in the hands of the previous owner. It stayed with him until 2019, before she found it at a show in 2021 in Oakley, Michigan. Schaefer enlisted a group of high schoolers from Four Rivers Night Shift out of Washington, Missouri, to fix the machinery. With days to spare, the crew finished the repair just in time for today's event. Urbana Police Department, 5 arrested, 4 firearms found after shooting. 5 people were arrested and 4 firearms recovered after a late-night shooting in Urbana's Douglas Park left an 18-year-old woman with injuries. Anytime you find multiple guns, particularly guns that have been modified to act like an automatic firearm, it's concerning. It's always concerning when it's in the hands of our youth. It's always equally concerning when it's confined in one space. Urbana Police Chief Larry Boone said Tuesday night that was pretty significant in terms of gun arrests. The shooting victim is expected to recover, Urbana Deputy Police Chief Mike Cervantes told the Champaign County Community Coalition on Wednesday. However, Boone said police do not believe she was the intended target, which raises concerns about retaliation attempts. Urbana police responded to a report of shots fired in the 1200 block of Brookstone Court at around 11:11 p.m. Tuesday and recovered around 30 spent shells when they investigated the scene. A short time later, the victim arrived at Carl Hospital with a gunshot wound. She said she had been shot in the parking lot of an apartment complex. Urbana police executed multiple search warrants, which resulted in the recovery of 4 firearms, one of which they said was equipped with a switch, an illegal device which gives automatic functionality to a semi-automatic firearm. An investigation that included foot pursuits resulted in the arrest of 5 individuals, 4 of whom received preliminary charges of possession of machine gun and resisting arrest: Isaiah Tapscott, 20, Martell Johnson, 19, Joel Hayes, 19, and Brendan Brown, 18. The 5th individual, a 17-year-old, was also charged with possession of a machine gun. In incidents like this, when police recover illegally possessed weapons, Boone says the department works in partnership with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. The ATF used a tracing system that tracks firearms by serial numbers, assuming those numbers have not been filed off. Boone is a longtime proponent of tracing the origin of illegal weapons, and he said that during this time in Urbana, the police department has been able to arrest some straw purchasers, but it's also important to put pressure on respectable people who provide illegal firearms but don't want to see their businesses impacted. Roughly half, maybe 60% of the firearms that end up in youth hands were passed to them by someone else illegally, he said. For example, Joe's a convicted felon. He's given someone he may know a gun, and that person may give it to someone else, Boone said. Another percentage are stolen. Boone said that some are technically legally in the possession of their owners. While he's referring to local data, he said similar numbers could be echoed anywhere in the country facing gun violence. I don't care where it's at. It tends to mirror in terms of gun activity as to the gun machinery and how it gets from one person to the other, Boone said. But what we have not done as a nation or as a community is ask the question, how are they getting these guns? Generally, he said, the onus has been placed too much on parents who would be acting to prevent their children from getting involved in gun violence if they had the knowledge and tools to do so. Rather, Boone calls for accountability within community leadership and government and hopes to see more than just law enforcement agencies working to prevent further gun violence. One example he shared was Public Works. Data shows that violent incidents occur more frequently in areas that are physically darker, lacking public lighting. Boone would hope if an area like that was identified in the city, someone would be able to hold the relevant department accountable for placing streetlights there. We're all doing great things, but until you have a coordinated effort with accountability built in, we're going to continue to have these same stories, Boone said. Police review use of force in incident involving juvenile. Champaign Police are performing an internal review on an incident in which an officer employed a taser during a traffic stop. Champaign Police Chief Tim Tyler shared a statement with the Champaign County Community Coalition on Wednesday describing the July 6th incident. Officers initiated a traffic stop on a vehicle at 6:59 p.m. that day near the intersection of Mattis Avenue and Williamsburg Drive. The vehicle fled from the officers but was located blocks away when four occupants exited it. The driver fled on foot and officers attempted to stop the remaining three occupants, Tyler said. One of the subjects failed to comply with commands to stop and was warned about the potential for use of a taser. He continued to flee, Tyler said, and an officer deployed the device. Upon being stunned, the subject fell forward, sustaining injuries to his face, hands, and knees in the fall. He was transported to an area hospital for medical evaluation due to departmental protocol. Tyler said because of his age, the juvenile was released to the custody of his parents pending potential charges. Two other vehicle occupants were detained in the scene, and the driver was later arrested. The firearm was also recovered in the course of the investigation, and a search warrant served by the Urbana Police Department, additional firearms, ammunition, and narcotics. Due to departmental police, Champaign Police are conducting a review of the use of force incident. The Champaign Police Department treats the actions of its officers with the utmost seriousness, and we work to ensure that all uses of force are lawful and compliant with departmental policy, Tyler said. Teacher of the Week, Heather Payne, School Social Worker, Urbana Early Childhood School. Heather Payne has worked as a social worker in Urbana schools since 2010. She started at Yankee Ridge Elementary School for 7 years before transitioning to Urbana Early Childhood School. School social work is the second chapter in the 2002 Centennial High School graduate's career. After graduating from Millikan University, she moved back to Champaign to work in community mental health services, in and outpatient psychiatric care, and drug alcohol recovery services before attending the University of Illinois for her graduate studies. At the Urbana Early Childhood School, she's actually exactly where she wants to be. UECS is an amazing community of helpers that want to partner with families and support students holistically, she said. I'm proud to be a part of the inclusive work we're doing to support our youngest Urbana students. I find my work important because I'm able to work with families of all backgrounds in the least restrictive environment. I generally try to make the school feel as inclusive and welcoming as possible to all families. It's fair to recognize that not everyone has positive associations with school for whatever reason, but we have more power than we realize to make a positive impact. My most fulfilling moments on the job are when students help and support each other. The feeling of a welcoming classroom community creates many special moments that allow kids to trust each other and to feel vulnerable enough to try when it feels hard. I think it's clear that I'm passionate about social-emotional learning. I keep students engaged by being fun and learning about their interests. It's easy to have fun when the children are so curious, engaging, and inquisitive. This is a good opportunity to shout out to my classroom teachers and staff who are always so welcoming to my occasional classroom chaos. The collaboration with coworkers is a favorite part of my job. Something else I'm passionate about is yoga and meditation. I seek to find peace and balance in all aspects of my life. I put effort into my own daily gratitude practice. My favorite teacher and subjects to study in school were a very memorable teacher in school was Mrs. Hembro, a Centennial High School who taught a classic literature course that included some now banned books. She did not start out as my favorite teacher, but I'm grateful for the way her class challenged me and presented social justice topics through literature and discussing. If I weren't a school social worker, I would be a yoga therapist or a play therapist. I'm spending summer with my puppy and kids, but I also traveled to the Galapagos Island to see giant tortoises, like hike lava fields, and snorkel with sea lions, turtles, and penguins. 10/10 recommended. Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Notes from the newsroom. Congratulations to Crew Car Wash, recognized in June for its proper display of the American flag by Champaign American Legion Post 24. Old Glory is easy to spot at the high traffic location at 2029 North Prospect Avenue, which opened in March. Have a flag to record. to nominate, have a flag to display to nominate, reach out to Post 24's Chuck Zielinski at 217-356-5114 or email al24champagne@gmail.com. Veteran Illini beat writer Scott Ritchie had a wonderful conversation with basketball stars David Mirkovich and Andrei Stojkovich at the team's practice facility Wednesday. As Illinois prepares for what many predict to be a magical basketball season, Ritchie's pace only will pick up. It's already impressive, Ritchie writing about college hoops for more than 2,600 consecutive days. He's starting his popular Good Morning Illini Nation on June 24, 2019, and hasn't missed a day since. That's in addition to his weekly podcast, Inside Illini Basketball, a Monday staple since early 2018. House McConnell, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear asked hospitalized senator for public update. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear is directly asking Senator Mitch McConnell, the state's most powerful figure in Congress, to disclose more about his condition after 3 weeks of silence from the 84-year-old since he was hospitalized in Washington. The letter released Wednesday from Beshear, a Democrat who is considered a potential presidential candidate in 2028, to the former Senate Republican leader says Kentuckians have grown increasingly concerned about the current state of your health and well-being and ability to hold office. McConnell, whose physical condition has visibly declined in recent years, was hospitalized June 14th. He has not released a public statement, photos, or videos since. Aides have disclosed nothing specific about his condition other than to say last week that McConnell continues to improve and is working closely with his staff on Kentucky and Senate matters while the Senate is out of session. That lack of detail has fueled rampant speculation about his prognosis and whether he will return to the Senate when it reconvenes next week. The firestorm was enough that Republican Senate leaders on Tuesday made public statements saying that they had talked to McConnell and that he was alert in discussing current events. McConnell is retiring at the end of his term in January, and the campaign to elect a successor is already underway. Kentucky's Senate succession law, which Republican legislators have twice changed during Beshear's tenure, does not give the governor a role in picking a temporary successor should McConnell's seat become vacant before his term ends. Under the latest change in 2024, Beshear would call a special election if the seat became vacant. The winner would take office after the result is certified. The general election winner would be sworn in as part of the new Congress in January. But there are unresolved questions about the timing of a special election under the untested law and the possibility the seat could remain vacant until January. Beshear ended the letter by wishing McConnell a safe and speedy recovery. More than 1,000 cases of parasitic infection reported. Cyclospora source yet to be identified. Nearly 1,000 people in Michigan have been diagnosed with a parasitic infection that can cause weeks of watery diarrhea, making it the largest such outbreak in the state history and one of the nation's largest in years. No deaths have been reported, and the source of the cyclospora infection has not been identified. Meanwhile, investigations into similar illnesses have been going on in 28 other states, including Ohio, where people just across the Michigan border are also becoming sick. Michigan officials first announced the outbreak last week when they were aware of more than 170 cases, all of the southeastern corner of the state, since June 22nd. Michigan usually identifies only about 50 cases each year. On Wednesday, the state reported the number had grown to 992, including about 40 hospitalizations. Just across the state line, Lucas County, Ohio, reported 306 cases as of Wednesday. Northwest Ohio has seen more than 500 cases. Cyclospora surges can be tricky to investigate, and food poisoning sources can be hard to establish. But there is clearly a linked outbreak happening right now, Dr. Natasha Bagdzarian, Michigan's chief medical executive, told the Associated Press on Wednesday. Here's what to know about the current situation. What is cyclospora? Cyclospora is a microscopic spherical parasite that commonly causes watery diarrhea, with frequent and sometimes explosive bowel movements, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The illness, called cyclosporiasis, is not usually life-threatening and is typically treated with antibiotics. Outbreaks tend to occur most often in the late spring and summer. This has been Mary Moreland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, July 9th, 2026. Please stay tuned for Part 2.